What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL Live. Joined as always by my co-host, Jonathan Holder. Jonathan, how are you doing, sir?
Man, I am wonderful. Got my new bed installed today.
There it is.
And just, I actually can't wait to go to bed for the first time in forever. Like, actually go to bed and sleep.
There it is. And as y'all can see down there on the bottom of the screen, we are joined by special guests, both members of Out of Your Falcon Mind, John and Mike. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing today?
Fantastic. I'm doing good. I popped in from out of town just to do this. It's like an honor.
Hey, I appreciate it.
We are honored, man.
We are very honored to have you.
Man, it's always an honor and a pleasure to be on y'all's show, man. So thank you for having us.
Heck yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Well, absolutely, right. Man. Yeah, man. I might be distracted. So y'all know, full disclosure, I've got a 3-month-old puppy walking around. And he's knocked over the light like twice. He may knock it over again. I don't know what's happening, but he should be leaving the room pretty soon. As soon as my wife and son get back from their run, we should be good to go. So yeah,
it's all good. It's all good. We will power through, my friend. I think all of us at some point in time have had some form of distraction or another. It is par for the course. What else is par for the course is we got a head coach has been in here for a week now. We got the full three pillars have been installed. We got plenty of things to talk about. So without much further ado, let's just go ahead and get into it. It wouldn't be much of a show if we didn't have a super chat from Fred Butts. So we appreciate you, Fred.
Mr. Butts.
He says that he loves our new coaching staff. Finally going to get back to a high-flying offense. Lake is a secondary guru, and Arthur looks bad that a good bit was kept, but not him. Mm. That's opinion. We can get into that aspect. I think the offense – For a lot of people should be getting back to something that resembles a little bit more fun. Bradley Burnett, we appreciate you greatly.
Bradley. What's
up, buddy? He says, best in the business coming together. Hey, you know, we got to every now and again. He must be talking about you two. You know.
Yeah, no. I sent you the meme today, man. The we're not worthy meme. That's for a reason, brother.
Hey, man, if y'all have not subbed to Out of Your Falcon 9, y'all really ought to, because you know, joking, not joking, but that's the next big thing. Y'all have such a good mix of culture and like entertainment value with knowledge and everything. Like I do a pretty good, like me and John, we do a good job with knowledge and facts and stuff like that. But you know, entertainment value is, you know, sometimes there.
My personality is not enough to carry this show.
No, right.
See, man, this is the difference. But here's the difference, man. I like the Patriots. Every time I come here, I feel like I'm at the Patriots thing. It's business when you come here. You're going to have fun, but you better know yourself and it's business. So I swear, every time I think of the show, I think of the Patriots. And I think, it's time to focus. So always an honor and pleasure to be here, man.
Rose Stockton with a $5 tip. We appreciate you.
What's up, brother?
He says, pound out of your mind. There you go. Keith D says, P for P and Out of Your Falcon Mind rocks. There it is.
Appreciate you, Keith.
Thank you, sir.
Same thing with Millie. Hell yeah.
Everybody's Millie, let's go.
Mills, my man.
I mean, a lot of our audience is like, you know, crossover in a sense. You know, I've popped into y'all's chat plenty of times before and seen a lot of our, regulars in there, I guess you could say. And that's good. Like, you know, if you are watching people, like if you're watching folks like us, then you should just be watching everybody. Right. Because you can't get enough of your Falcons and you might have a problem. As Mike would say, you might be out of your Falcon mind.
Yeah.
Which still jealous that y'all came up with that.
I'll tell you right now, if I had been JR and I came up with, you know, this channel, the one that would have really made me upset that I did not think of it first is the New Millennium Falcon podcast.
Yeah, the New Millennium. Those guys do a good job as well.
That's my guys.
The best names, period.
I never really did get a chance to like do any collaboration with them, but
they're awesome, man.
Well, not with the new Millennium I've done, mm-hmm. but there was another one. I don't know if he does it much anymore, but he had a really good name. I actually came up with it and then realized somebody had already taken it. But it was Rise Up Rundown.
And, that's man on YouTube. Yeah.
I can't remember his name. I can see his face, but I can't remember his name. He used to do a lot of real good skits and stuff like that. But
Logan.
Yep. Yeah.
My man Logan.
I remember trip down memory lane, me and Toby sitting at the wing stop, or not stop, but the wing spot that we met up at before we formed the channel, and we were running through names and ideas, and I came up, you know, I was like, oh man, Rise Up Rundown, and I typed it into YouTube and came up a channel. I said, well, dang it.
Man, pound for pound is a staple of the thing, though, man. Yeah, you got to know.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because everybody know what that is when you say that. Right. Everybody know what that is.
Willie Doc with $5. We appreciate you, hey. Willie. He says, evening, P4P, and out of your Falcon mind. This will be a fun stream. It should be. He says, now that all the coordinators are in place, guesses on how we'll attack free agency. That'll be some of the questions that we get into as the night goes. Because now we do have the pillars in place. We do have the faces, and now we can start looking at, okay, they came from this type of scheme and this type of scheme. What is that more reliant on? What have they dealt with? To start painting the picture of where we might be going with the free agency, with the draft. I was wondering if Chris was going to pop in here. Our resident Oregon fan. He said, oh man, what a show. He said, Jimmy Lake, what did I do so wrong in a past life?
Dude, I did a small video on Jimmy yesterday. And I honestly, I thought of Chris when I did it. I was like, I'll bet Chris is like somewhat pissed about this, but also like rational enough to know he's actually a good defensive coordinator. So, you know, he is.
And look, he's not running it. Like I said, we'll get into all that. He's not running the show here.
Exactly.
And by all accounts, his defense was, you know, top notch. Mm-hmm. So Huckle brings, he says, I would be remiss if I didn't shout out Toby D. Of course not.
Toby!
Yep. He says his new show, We Talk Falcons, is fire. Yes. If y'all haven't, y'all go check. Check him out. Definitely go, you know, sub to him. I know he tried to do a live stream earlier today. So y'all go check him out and say hello. And just know, for anybody who asks, for anybody who wants to know, he decided to do that on his own. Like, we didn't ask him to, we didn't want him to, but we wish him the best and hope that everything, you know, goes Toby D's way.
Tom Brady, man. He retired, then he unretired. I think he just sold us at this point. He just,
you know?
Toby's sold all of us at this point.
He's the Tom Brady of Falcons.
Conference. He is.
There it is, yeah. I mean, yeah. So
shout out to Toby, man.
That's right. Okay, so let's get into it for real. A weekend. This time last week, we had pretty much just gotten the news that Raheem Morris was going to be the new head coach. So we've now had time to really digest it, break it down in a lot of different ways, look at it from a lot of different angles. Mike, how are you feeling about Raheem Morris?
Oh man, you know, I'm thinking Super Bowl, and here's why. The first thing is, man, I think he's a magnet, and it's very hard for everybody to enjoy you. I don't care if you're the nicest person, man. Mary Poppins, it's somebody that hate Mary Poppins, right?
Yep.
So when everyone whose ass speak highly of you, man, that's almost impossible. And I just feel like it'll be a magnet. When everyone love you, man, you can get anybody you want to come here. And I mean, as far as players, the coaches, the everything. I hope he can, you know, bring some cheerleaders in, you know, some.
I thought they were doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Hey, man. Hey, it could always be better.
I got you.
You know, so, but no, I just think he's going to be a magnet. And he, to me, I don't know his like age, but to me, he's always young because of the face.
Yeah.
And he got like young 47? Energy.
Yeah. He's 47.
Man, he got like young energy, man. He's going to be running up and down the sideline. He's going to be infectious. it's a great energy, man. And we need that in the city of Atlanta. And I'll be honest, from where the season ended, I thought it would be a long time before I could like rile up the team, like the fans again.
Right.
And for it to be so quickly that we already like, okay, I'm in heaven right now, man.
There it is. Okay. Yeah. All right. John Yates, week later, where are you at? What are you thinking?
I'm good, man. I love it. I think when we was hired, I think everybody's first reaction was like, okay, well, at least the folks that were kind of rational about it. Like, we talked about on our show, the first guy we wanted, you know, was Jim. We didn't think Jim was really an option because of how much he seemed to love Southern California. And I didn't want Bill, you know, I personally didn't want Bill. So next guy on the list for me was Raheem, because then it was just for what Mike just said, he's universally loved by players and coaches. And so when he was hired, the first thing I was thinking was like, okay, now what coordinators is he going to bring? Cause then that was more kind of important to me, because for my head coach, man, like I don't need him to be a schematic genius. I need him to lead men. I need him to motivate men and obviously know what he's doing, but like, that's Raheem, man. That's what he's done. He knows the defense. He knows the offense. He's been both sides of the ball. You know, we all wanted him to go out there, you know, and get Zach Robinson. And apparently that was already kind of a thing. Like when he interviewed, it was kind of like, mm-hmm. Oh, Zach's coming with me. That's the deal. Yeah. You know, so great. And then Jimmy Lake wasn't even on my list of guys.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But, hey, I mean, after, you know, researching and stuff, I'm good with it, you know, and we'll talk more about him, I'm sure. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited about it.
Jonathan, where are you sitting at?
So before we hired him, I had, and even potentially even like still after the hire, like my still number one guy was, I wanted Bobby Sloan. Like that was the guy that I felt like was the best guy to go. Now we've just learned today he's following Ben Johnson and basically being like, mm-hmm. wait till next year, maybe, or whatever.
I was going to get into that. I'm like, what does that say? Okay. We'll sidetrack for half a second. Yeah. What does that say about the Seahawks and Commanders job? Like there's still two jobs left. And both the hot offensive coordinator names have decided to return back to the teams where they were coordinating. You know, Ben Johnson in Detroit, and then Bobby Slowick just agreed to basically a new deal with Texans. So what do you think that says, Jonathan?
Well, so here's what I think. I think Slowick looks at his current position where he's at now, and he looks at the Commanders and Seattle. In Seattle, yeah, you've got Geno Smith, but that's not, I don't think that's going to be the long-term answer. All right. So for all intents and purposes, you can say, okay, if I go to Seattle, I don't have a long-term QB answer there. You go to Washington. Yeah. They got the number two pick, but just like we saw this year, Bryce Young goes, number one and, has not looked like a number one pick.
Right.
We don't know if he'll ever look like the number one pick. He might get turned around. He's got Dave Canales now as his head coach. You know, maybe they can turn things around there, but you just never know when it comes to the draft. Like the most can't miss prospect could just be a complete bust. You just never know. So he looks at where he's at now and he says, I've got CJ Stroud. This guy's already been through a year. He was really coming on at the end of the year. This is much more of a proven commodity than what is out in these other two places.
Right.
So, like, instead of trying to roll the dice, that might be the case.
Dr. Anonymous, because I'm not saying your name. Anyway, Dr. Anonymous says, low key, they wanted the Atlanta job. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. Did everybody read the Brett Jukes thing? His like little tweet thread where he talked Raheem about about the process and everything. Like after Raheem was hired, everybody in our organization knew this was a sought after position.
Yeah.
Right. Belichick, you know, you can say what you want about other teams not calling Belichick. The most likely situation there was they reached out to Belichick. Belichick didn't want to deal with him, right? We got you. We got
no, no, okay, hold on. Car, hold on. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right. Look, hit him.
Damn. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Now, what if it's, how, is it worth more or less because it comes from Canada?
I don't know what the exchange rate is, man.
That's like 50 cents in the U.S.
But look, Damski, I had your other comment starred.
There okay? you go. Look at that.
I was going to get to it. We were rolling through the opening salvo, the opening monologue.
Damski, my man.
The most handsome guys in the Falcon sphere. He's definitely talking about you two. Maybe Jonathan, not, you know. But.
We love you, buddy.
Damski's a trip. Anyway, nice. Sorry.
I think he looks at Washington. He looks at Seattle. He doesn't see a firm like future at QB, and he's gonna have to find one. And that's a roulette bet at best.
Right.
So now you have CJ Stroud and Ben Johnson. On the other hand, you were one half of football away from a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you're a last football game and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, well, but
Ben Johnson. Sorry, I was thinking. Yeah, Ben, yeah, no, yeah, right,
Ben,
right.
Yeah, Ben Johnson was a half of football. And now the last two games that they played really good first half, did kind of petered out in the second half. Hmm. So in his mind, he's like, man, we are this close. Right. Let's come back. Let's run it back again. Let me show everybody, for one, that I can do it again. And two, I feel like we have a really good team here, a really good foundation, mm-hmm. and there's something I can do. And let me go get my ring, and then I can go and pick wherever I want to go.
And see, Ed, that's, not to dominate with just us two talking, but that's the thing, like, we talk about with QBs in the draft, right? You got to get one this year because this is the last good year for QBs coming out. These guys, I think a lot of these guys are starting to realize, hey, look, every year somebody's getting fired. Mm-hmm. You know, next year it might be Brian Daboll up in New York, and you might have a better market, or it might be Robert Slaheey with the Jets, or Saleh with the Jets, or it could be, you know, whoever with the Raiders. Antonio Pierce might flame out in a year. I don't know, mm-hmm. you know, but there's going to be another job open next year. These mm-hmm. these owners are not giving. It's not like a lifelong position, so mm-hmm. you're going to have other opportunities.
I like Slowick too. One thing I said on our show too is the only thing that worried me a little bit was just the fact that he'd only been an OC for 1 year. And mm-hmm. from the Falcons, like, management standpoint, if they go take a swing at a 1 year OC and miss, then they're going to look really bad. They're going to say, like, you know, man, you guys knew this, how important this hire was, and you went and took a shot at your 1 year OC, you know. And Ben Johnson, I liked him too, but they run such a similar offense to Arthur Smith with some very similar pieces. Mm-hmm. They're just more talented, except, you know, maybe not the running mm-hmm. backs, but you could debate it. But, you know, obviously the receiving core was, quarterback play obviously was mm-hmm. better off. Offensive line played their.
Yeah. You know, off. So, I mean Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow.
So, you know, I like Ben. I wouldn't have been upset with it at all, but, you know, I can see why, you know, Raheem was the choice.
Yeah.
To finish out, like, my thoughts on, like, the original question of, like, how am I feeling? Like, I, like, probably the 2 or 3 days before we hired him, I actually, in my mind, I was like, I kind of want Raheem Morris, because he felt like a guy that wherever he goes, he had that real bad experience with Tampa. He's gone through and kind of worked his way back up to being a head coach guy. Probably should have been a head coach years ago, but he's worked his way back up. And I just felt like he was a guy that wherever he goes, like exactly what Mike said, he's a magnet. Guys want to play with him. Guys mm-hmm. want to coach him. And he's going to bring in a bunch of really talented individuals, and that mm-hmm. team's going to be successful. And everybody's going to look at it as, like, you know, at the time, it's going to be not on the same level, but it's going to be kind of like the Campbell hire. You know, when Campbell was hired, everybody's like, what are y'all doing? Oh, it's the Lions. Oh, whatever. And it's the same. Oh, I did. I did too. I was like,
I mean, when dude come out here talking about biting kneecaps, I was like, oh, good job, Lions. Y'all and I are a meathead, you know? But it's kind of, you know, putting a bow on your point there. I think Jay Black has a similar to kind of what you're talking about there. He says Raheem does have experience by being on teams that have won a Super Bowl. And so hopefully he can translate that for the Falcons. And it's not just that. He's had his own experience with head coaching, which you know, Shanahan, McVay, when they were all in Washington together, has said that he was very open and candid about his experience in Tampa, about, you know, what they should do, you know, when they're given the chance. So, like, he's definitely learned. And so, I mean, obviously he's going to have to put it to work now, because something that if y'all are still a week in, not y'all in this panel, but more y'all in the chat, if y'all are still like on the fence about this Raheem Morris hire because of his record, there's some things that I want y'all to keep in mind. If y'all didn't
talk to him, JR, talk to him, please do this.
If y'all didn't read that thread from, I guess he was a Tampa fan, or maybe he was a beat writer, I'm not 100% sure. But he laid out a really good thread that had a lot of good points in it. The Glazers had just bought a soccer team.
Yeah, Man United.
Right. And they had a lot of money tied up in that. They had just come off the Tony Dungy deal and was basically trying to go cheap for a while and trying to recoup their money. So they weren't splurging in free agency. They went with Raheem Morris because he was a cheaper option, mm-hmm. and didn't necessarily let him pick his staff.
Nope.
And the GM had more say in the players than what Morris had. So essentially he didn't get to pick his staff and he didn't get to pick his players. So the fact that in his second year they won 10 games, they just so happened to be the same time the Saints and the Falcons were, you know, winning 11 and 13 games. So they were third in the NFC. But, you know, he got out of that roster a good, you know, product for what he was given. And then I was listening to the PFF guys talk about, because, you know, obviously Zach Robinson was on their staff for a little while. So I was listening to them talk about Zach Robinson. And before that, they started talking about Raheem. And they brought up the point that I thought was interesting. They said, never, never count any kind of interim games.
Like, mm-hmm. Right.
You know, can't. That's not fair.
Right. He said, whether it's good or bad,
mm-hmm.
you just kind of have to throw it out, because, you know, there's so little control you have, mm-hmm. when you get slapped with that interim tag. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at like just his head coaching record, you're going, oh, this guy shouldn't be here because of this, then I think that's the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah.
And I clip think that like- part and it got to go viral. Clip that part and just put it on the whole internet. Because I'm going to tell y'all, he still did good. And you can't judge that, but it's like you're giving him sloppy joes. He still made it fancy. He put some garlic bread, some cheese on it. You know, it was sloppy joes, but it was served good.
Hey,
so
it was a fancy sloppy joe. That's a good way to go about it.
Not fair. It's not fair.
And I've seen folks say, well, why didn't we hire him after the interim job? If everybody, if they liked him so much, then, well, y'all forget that. We were dealing with a dirt cutter offense that was god awful, and like everybody wanted to go get that explosive offense. So that's
right,
our boy Art was supposed to do.
Well, you were looking looked around the league, like Blank and them looked around the league and said, okay, you know, we need somebody, or we want somebody out of the McVay tree or Shanahan tree.
Shanahan, yeah.
Which, guess what? Art is. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care if y'all believe it or not, he is, you know, because of the influence of Matt LaFleur and Joe Gibbs and all those guys, you know. So, you know, they were following the trend of the rest of the NFL instead of necessarily setting their own trend, which I feel like they did this time around.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to keep pushing through some of these.
And also, just real quick, everybody, you know, everybody brings that up now because we just hired him.
Right.
You go back 3 years when they fired Dan Quinn, and we get to the end of that season. There is almost nobody, no fan in Atlanta, no serious fan in Atlanta that was sitting here being like, "Yeah, we should hire Raheem Morris." No, everybody wanted to clean house.
Right. You wanted to get that taste out of your mouth completely.
Everybody wanted a clean slate, and if Arthur Blank and the Falcons had been like, "Hey, guess what? New head coach Raheem Morris," everybody had been like,
oh, dude, they'd been mad. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. They're been revolted, man.
Yeah.
Man, they'd have been all right. Anyway, pushing on through, here's some of the comments that I have starred, just so y'all don't think y'all got a tip to get your comments read. Y'all put in a lot of good comments, and I can't always get to them. Anyway.
I'm glad it's you tonight, not me.
Millie Mill says, the move is draft a QB and build with him. If we can't get Daniels, then I'm all for Bo Nix. That's interesting that you went for Bo Nix. I am just very iffy on Penix. The injuries scare me. The injuries do scare me. Outside of what I'm going to call the top three right now here at the end of January, the top three being Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. Who draft wise, Mike? Who is your QB? Who's the one?
Oh, I'm going Matt Ryan. I don't care who the QB. I'm saying you let Matty compete for that job. You bring him out the booth and you let Matty compete for that job.
I'm with you. Okay.
You let him compete. And then number two, if we win a Super Bowl without Matt Ryan, he get a ring. I don't care who the quarterback is, but it's only right. You get that man a ring, he get a ring.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying. And I'm joking, but I would like
tell him, Mike.
I'm being honest, Jaden Daniels. But I'll be honest. I would love to see him compete for the job. I know no one will agree with me. He probably washed up. He's been sitting home for a year playing PlayStation. But I believe Matt Ryan could take us. If we had him this year, I believe we would have went to the playoffs. If it washed up or not, if we had Matt Ryan this year and he wasn't turning that ball over, we would be in the playoffs and we would have been in the NFC Championship with Matt Ryan. So you let him compete for that job.
Let that goat compete.
You let him compete.
All right, Yates, who's outside of the big three? Who is your QB that you're like, okay, I wouldn't mind this. It wouldn't be bad.
I like Penix. I mean, like I said, the injuries is kind of iffy, but I mean, yeah, just
if they check out, right?
Right. And I've said on our show, the only thing that worries me is who's guarding his blind side and Caleb McGarry. Like, we know he's a good run blocker, but man, his pass blocking is still a lot to be desired with it. And with a guy who's injury prone, you don't want him getting smashed. I mean, like, that's that worries me a little bit, but he's a natural thrower, man. Like, I know he didn't have a good national championship game, but I've watched a lot more games than just that.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't just say, okay, well, that game he sucked and he's not a good quarterback. For any position, you can't do that. But right. He's a natural thrower. I mean, very smart kid. I like it a lot. I wouldn't hate Bo Nix. I'm intrigued by, like, even in Steven said in our show too, homeboy from South Carolina.
Oh, Rattler.
Rattler. Yeah, just because he's a good arm. Decision-making worries me some, but, good arm. But this would be like a later round type of guy. Clearly, we're not going to take him.
No, yeah.
This is like third, fourth round type of thing.
Yeah.
Joe Milton probably's got the best arm in the whole freaking
draft. Joe Milton can stand outside the stadium and hit the end zone. But
yeah, I mean, like, so, I mean, there's some guys that intrigue me. I mean, you know, I like Mike said, I'd rather take a shot, and if we have a chance to go up and get Jaden or something like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Jonathan?
Yates pretty much stole my thunder there. Like,
I don't know.
my number one guy, I'll just say this. I know you said outside the top, but my number one, I'm going with Mike, is Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, yeah. That's right now, January, that's the one I want.
Yes, that is the guy that I want.
Right.
If we can't get him, which we probably won't, but if we can't get him, then I like Penix. I think of the rest of the pack, I think he is the guy that, again, assuming the injury stuff isn't a big deal for most of the rest of his career and stuff like that. I think he's the guy that has the highest ceiling. I think he's the guy that works best for the kind of offense that we're likely going to see, which is much more drop back passer friendly. If it's going to look similar to what we see out of like the LA Rams and the 49ers, if it's more along those lines, then he can move around if need be. But he's a guy that if he's allowed to sit back in that pocket, the accuracy is unworldly with this guy.
His deep ball accuracy is beyond deep ball accuracy,
everything. So I like, he's a guy that I would probably take a chance on, especially if I could get him in the second round. Maybe try to get back up to the end of the first. If you feel like you have to get him there, then I'd be okay with that. But at eight, no, I'm not taking Penix at eight. I'm not taking anybody but the top three at eight.
Yeah.
And so, but I also mirror what Yates said, which is, the other guy that kind of intrigues me as kind of a dark horse guy is Spencer Rattler. I think that guy, I've seen him make some throws. I'm just like, what? He makes some unreal throws.
If you can clean up his decision-making process, which
and the good thing is that the, again, assuming that we see something similar, I think, the type of system we're going to run will probably make, will hopefully be seeing a lot more guys come, you know, schemed open and stuff like that to give your guys some easier throws. You don't have to worry as much on the decision making because it's like that guy's obviously open. I mean, throw it to him, you know, that kind of situation. But you never know. But he's a guy that intrigues me out of all the rest, like Bo Nix, whatever.
I don't know, Bo Nix,
JJ McCarthy. I mean, he could be good. Who knows?
Bo Nix intrigues me. JJ McCarthy seems like a more talented Ritter, so kind of hard pass there, maybe. But we still got a ways to go on the process. All right, let's keep pushing through some of these. Hucklebuck says, "Let Raheem and Terry cook.
Let them cook.
I agree.
Get out the kitchen, everybody."
That's it. Let's see. Bradley says, Raheem seems to be a whole team, a lot like Tomlin. I've made that comparison, you know, as far as like a leader of men and widely respected. I feel like he really could be a could be our Tomlin. That's kind of a, you know, best the vibe I got, you know.
Y'all see what Jalen Ramsey said?
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, there could be guys trying to break rules to get.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he talked about, he's like, I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to start.
Right.
But I'm saying, you know,
hey,
there's
look,
plenty of players that want to play for him.
Ron on Twitter says, will the Falcons get any primetime games this year? I bet you the Steelers game will be a primetime game.
Yeah, if we start off high, I think, yeah.
I swear to God, if they put up points against us,
yeah.
For anybody who missed it, the Steelers' new offensive coordinator is Arthur Smith. So there's a lot of jokes about George Pickens and him are going to be boxing on the sidelines.
Oh yeah.
And one thing I will remind you folks, like when he wants to feature a playmaker, he can feature a playmaker. Like I know y'all don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. You had
three rookies
3 years in a row breaking records.
I see a lot of people on the timeline like, good luck, Steelers. I'm like, this guy is he's a good coach. Did it work out here? No.
Nope. Sure did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But is he a good coach that his players you know, really like and want to play really hard for? Absolutely. He absolutely is. Whatever you want to talk about the production on the field. Okay. Look, didn't work out.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, this guy is a good coach. He's a good OC, especially if he can focus on just the offensive side of the ball and he doesn't have to worry about anything else now. Like, I have no doubts that if they can figure out what's going on in the quarterback position, then I think that, like, do I think they're going to be the best offense in the league? No. Could it happen? Sure. But I think they're going to be just fine offensively.
Right. It's just like your ex. Like, you can't wish him well.
Well, no, of course not. I won't ever lose, right? Look.
They could be the best person ever.
Every time I watch a Cowboys game and the Cowboys start giving up a big lead, I'm like, I've seen that before.
Well, you know
that's John.
Every opportunity I got, I'm going to
take it. John H. says, good coaches look for opportunities to succeed, not fail. The two remaining jobs have issues. If D.C. moving to Virginia – and the others has owner issues. So yeah, if there's like management style issues, especially with the Commanders having, you know, new ownership group, people don't really have a read on them yet. That might be what's holding them up. It might be like too many Chiefs, not enough Indians type situation with voices in the room. So who knows? This is a place we don't. Well, go ahead.
Well, this like to me. Slowick and Ben and Johnson, they did what they felt was the right move. Canales going to Carolina feels like a young guy who's like, you know, there's only 32 of these things. Let's go grab one. Like, well, that's what it feels like. Cause you know, we'll see how it all ends up. It might be a great signing and they may do great with him. But at the end of the day, that feels like Tepper wasn't going to get anybody else to work with him.
No.
And this feels like a guy that, like the one guy that everybody that was like, you know, I can do this and I can do that. It all merged with whatever his thoughts were.
See, no, I agree. Cause like, But what Canales may not be thinking of, how long is it going to take you to get that second opportunity? Mm-hmm. Look at Raheem Morris.
Yep.
So something else you got to keep that these other guys got to keep in mind. This is a face we don't get very often. Miss Carrie.
Carrie, what up?
Hey, what's going on?
I know why she's here. She's not here for us. She's
a laugh, man. Pound for pound.
That's all right. All right. Fred Butts, we appreciate you again. He says,
Mr. Butts.
He says, I still don't think Ritter was a problem. With Yates being moved to QB coach, his actual position, tells me that Ritter wasn't being coached right. Well, also tells me that everybody in the building identified Dave Ragone as part of the problem, right, which we had said most of the year.
But just to put a little extra thought here, like everybody's like, you know, TJ Yates, why was he doing wide receiver this? Why was, you know, he's a QB coach this? What he should be doing? And it's like Raheem Morris. I mean, you look at the head coach, Raheem Morris has been receiver coach, offensive passing game coordinator, defensive coordinator, defensive backs coach. He's been all over the place. Like, if you're a coach, you coach.
Hey,
now, and that just adds to your resume. Like later on, if he wants to put it out there, he's like, I've been a QB coach. I've been a wide receivers coach. So like that diversity of experience is nothing but helpful.
Guess what side of the ball everybody's favorite Bobby Sloak started on?
Defensive.
Right.
Defense.
Yep. Like you get in where you fit in, you know, as far as coaching goes. Chris says, go get Zach Robinson, Ladd McConkey. That kid gets out of a drought so quick. Yeah, if y'all watch any of the stuff that has come out of the Senior Bowl, like Ladd is uncoverable so far today.
I have wanted our own Edelman, Amendola. You know, I've wanted our own one of those guys that's just like go out of the slot and you can't. Yeah, he's gonna figure out a way to get open.
That's right,
Johnny Yates. Yep. Johnny Yates could just run up. He could stop at the first down, and he could turn around. Possession receiver, Johnny Yates. He's going to get you 8 yards.
I mean, he's buffed up enough. All he's got to do is go out there and just
that's what I'm saying.
Get around him.
Just flex on
Johnny Yates.
Flex on him, John.
Trial for the team, man.
6'1", 210, I'm telling you.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Hey. I still got some jumps. I got 3 to 4 good jumps before I blow an Achilles.
There it is. There it is. You can get us something. There it is.
1-2 games.
Dave says, any word on the D-line coach? No, we haven't gotten a lot of the positional coaches. We know that TJ Yates got moved to QB coach, and we know that Dwayne Ledford was kept. We know that Marquise Williams was kept as special teams coordinator, and Michael Petrie was kept as running backs coach. So,
Jay, I got a question.
Yeah, buddy.
For you, because man, you can answer this. And like, I really want to know. It's like, should you pick a QB coach before you have the quarterback in place?
Yes, and the reason why I say that is because a good QB coach should be able to mold whoever, right? And if when you're thinking about TJ Yates, remember whether we like to, you know, want to bring up the name or not, he was very instrumental in the grooming. Well, that sounds bad. Let me choose a different word. In the molding, tutelage. I like that one. That's better. In the tutelage of Deshaun Watson, because you know he was the QB coach in Houston when Deshaun got hired, or not hired, when he got drafted. Yeah. So, you know, he's already had experience with grooming. God, don't use that word with that man. Anyway, with tutoring. Yeah.
Teaching
a young QB out of college, right? Especially a young, talented one. So, is probably with. Now, also keep in mind, Zach Robinson was a QB coach for the Rams as well. Mm-hmm. So, it's somebody else. Oh, yeah, it was our next comment. Millie Mills says PFF said this morning that Zach Robinson has an eye for QBs and he knows which guys have the traits to succeed in the NFL. Okay, so if Zach Robinson, who we feel like has an eye for QBs, think about what Zach Robinson did out in LA. He got, especially last year, maybe don't think about this year, maybe think about last year. He got four different QBs ready to play when Stafford went down. Well, Wolford, he got there was another guy, I can see his face, I can't think of his name. Yeah, and then Baker, he got Baker ready to play and win within 2 days of Baker getting to the building. Okay, so he, that right there tells you that he can like translate well the playbook, get the guys ready to go. And so if he says, okay, this is the, you know, I want this guy to stick as my QB coach, then that gives me some confidence in TJ Yates's abilities to,
I got you.
You know, you see what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So let's see. Okay. That was all the ones.
He was on Mahomes before anybody was on Mahomes.
Right.
He was the PFF. Like he was like, you know, Mahomes is kind of like, yeah, he's got a good arm, but he's going to be a project. And he was like, no, man, this guy's going to be legit. And
right.
Yeah, he was right.
And another thing that you can think about, like, as far as Zach Robinson himself goes, he was on a, you know, college staff that was, and he wasn't on staff. He was a player. He was the QB for a, one of those like bleeding edge college teams. The ones that were extremely innovative. And I'm talking about Oklahoma State with Gundy. And he was, you know, dual threat quarterback, ran through doing the RPOs, like all that bleeding edge stuff, especially for that time back in the early 2000s. You know, so him having an eye for QBs makes a lot of sense. And he was highly coveted. And the fact that he wanted to be with Raheem Morris should speak volumes to anybody who's listening. You know, because
not to mention Raheem, just say he wanted to be with Raheem. The thing that got me on board with the Raheem thing quicker than anything was the when I heard there's a guy that came on like the day he was hired, maybe the next day, and he said like I was literally talking to Raheem the day that Jim Harbaugh got hired. And Raheem was telling people like, hey, you know, get, you know, talk up these other guys to these other teams or whatever. Cause you know, so I can get to Atlanta.
That was Ryan Clark.
You be here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the thing, is like, man. I like Raheem wants to be here and Robinson wants to be with Raheem. Like there's a part of me that when Smith got hired, when he was putting his, because this is a major part of a head coaching job, right? Is putting your coaching staff together. There were guys that, you know, he never coached with Dave Ragone. Like there was no real crossover with, there was only a few guys that actually had a little bit of crossover with Arthur. And part of me wonders if that's where it started to go wrong, right? But who knows? I'm not in those meetings. I don't know how important that stuff is. But we were just talking about Zach Robinson, but I want to kind of like shift over to Jimmy Lakes for just a minute, because when we talk about like connections, and John, I know you put out a video or y'all put out a video, so you know this already. But there's a deep tie between Jimmy Lakes and Raheem Morris. You know, they coached together. Like Raheem Morris was Jimmy Lake's boss back in Tampa.
Yep.
You know, so
he was a DB coach there, wasn't he?
Right. Raheem was the DB coach, and Jimmy Lake was a position coach, or like he was an assistant.
Or was he like quality control?
Yeah. He was like a DB's assistant coach. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when Raheem gets up to head coach, he was his DB's coach.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Right. So then Lakes goes to college, literally, Boise, and then works his way up from Boise to Washington, works his way up from DB's coach to DC to head coach. So obviously the dude's got it as far as So Mike, did you see the video of the incident that got him kind of fired at Washington?
No.
I did. Okay.
John, what were your thoughts on that?
I didn't think it's that big a deal.
I didn't either. I watched the video and I was like, is this what we're like?
No, dude. I mean, like, it's like, look, I guess. I mean, like, it was just like, you know, like he was just, hey, like just pushing his own player back, like to like get, like, it just, I mean, because he put his hands on him. I mean, like, come on, man. I mean, like, what are we doing? I mean,
right.
I know we're at a different age, but I mean, good Lord. I mean, I wouldn't like he smacked him in the face and cussed at him and whatever. I mean, he was just like, dude, you know,
what was the name of that? There was a college football coach years and years and years ago. I can't remember his name to save my life. As soon as I hear it, I'll know it. But he literally grabbed one of his guy's face masks and then was like, bam.
Oh, like, I don't remember that one. I thought you were going to talk about the one that locked a dude in the closet. And I thought that was Mike Leach that did that.
No, that was
Bobby Knight.
That was Mike Leach. Rest in peace, buddy. One of a kind.
Yeah, I don't know. But I watched a couple breakdowns on YouTube of some guys breaking down Jimmy Lake when he got the head coaching job. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I thought was like, after watching it and taking what Raheem did out in LA, it definitely seems like, okay. Yeah. I want to get to that here. I got a train of thought there. I was hoping Chris was going to pop back in because I know he's out there in that area. Mm-hmm. So I figured he would have more information on it anyway. So, they were breaking down his defense and they were talking about how, you know, he ran a lot of, like cover three, but it was a lot of like, it was cover three, but it was an aggressive cover three.
Yep.
You know, where the corners were rerouting guys, like jamming guys at the line of scrimmage before, you know, bailing out to their deep thirds. And so I thought that was interesting. And he had some interesting alignments as far as the, you know, defensive line went, getting guys in space to get to the quarterback. So I'll be interested to see how much of what Raheem learned out in LA, because I think at times Raheem gets tabbed as a cover two guy or a Tampa two guy because of his time.
He's done so much more. When he got there, I mean, he had Wade Phillips 3-4 setup going on, which he used, you know, he adapted to it, you know, and then like, that's what's really good about him. And I mean, when Bobby Wagner left and Leonard Floyd left and, you know, A'shaun Robinson left, he had to come, you know, they converted more to a 4-3, even though, you know, and y'all talk about it too, just like we do, you know, 3-4, 4-3 is not that big a deal anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in nickel all the time anyway.
Right. It's ambiguous as far as that goes.
But he was able to, you know, use that 4-3 as well because it fit the scheme better. And he was much more aggressive in that defense, even with the 3-4. Like he would kind of like Nielsen, he would bring guys on pressures from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be, I mean, that should fit just perfectly here, you know, I mean, with our guys. And then we're obviously going to add to the room, you know, with hopefully an edge rusher and even more. So, yeah.
Let me say this too, man. It's like those three people fit perfectly together as puzzle pieces. And the only thing I can even like reference it is if you ever seen the show, Smitty got a show with like Birdo and Chris. That's the only thing I can even think of that's like that to me, where like it's like a triangle, but they all like fall perfectly together because everyone is skilled at what they do specifically.
Right.
And they all creative. And here's the only difference is they already know each other. So it's going to be even more seamless than you ever could imagine. And I just think it's going to be a dope thing to see because what you will see, I think that we had a critique, man, this is boring. It's like paint drying. You won't see that this year.
Right.
It won't be boring. I don't know what it will be, but I could tell you what it won't be. It will not be boring because you got three people coming together who want to work with each other, who couldn't wait to work with each other, and who all wanted to be in Atlanta. And that come out. If you love what you do, if you love where you work, it come out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want that job. I just want to see who hired me. I just want a job. If I want that job, I know who I'm bringing. I know who I'm bringing. If you get, when you already that excited, then the players that excited. I guarantee you some players right now, like, I want to go over there. Oh, yeah. I don't care. I want to go there. And when you that, it's going to transcend. It's going to transition to the field. You will have fun Atlanta Falcon football. There's something to be excited about. I know that y'all don't, the regular fan probably don't know who these names are. But if you watch JR, you watch John, or you watch John, man, they go over who these dudes are. And when you watch the videos, you can get excited.
I'll figure it out.
So if you don't know who it is, just watch one of the videos and you'll be as excited as I am. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Chris, our buddy Chris, said there was about 6 incidents of him being physical with players, like reports or whatever. So, but hey, he's now he took a year away from football in 2022. This is Jimmy Lake. And
maybe with some anger management or something.
Yeah, maybe it was, you know. Yeah. So, some folks dealing with kids, like, that's sometimes you look at it different than dealing with grown men. Yeah. And I know that sounds a weird, like, distinction between 19 and 20 year olds to 25 year olds, you know, but sometimes if you can just view it different in your head, you know, you got a different responsibility.
Some guys are brought up differently too. So he might have been coached that way and he didn't have any problem with it. So you never know.
It's Carrie said she wanted us to know that there was nothing against me and Jonathan. She said she is subscribed. I just need to turn notifications on. That's all I know. Hey,
she doesn't have her notifications on.
It is all good.
Nah, I just felt like picking on her. That's all. The thought, like, Bradley brings up a good point. He's like, Colin Coward came out and criticized Blank, said that he was panicked with this hire.
Anything Cowherd says, I'm almost always going to be like, well, it's probably the opposite, right? Like, that guy doesn't, I don't know if I've ever seen him legit, like, have a correct take. Now he'll come on and say he was correct later.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course.
Definitely not concerning Atlanta.
Damn, John said I'd never seen him have a correct take. Damn.
Not in our city. Especially.
Oh, yeah.
And look, I'll say this. It was a lot of options. We got the best tandem you could have asked for. If you're talking about a head coach and a coordinator, you got the best two you could have asked for the skill set of the team we have. So it should be no criticizing that, and we don't criticize Arthur Blank.
The part that gets me is like trying to claim that it was a panicked move. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, to me, would sound more panicked if you were the last one standing.
Yeah, and you just grabbed Bill a guy. You interviewed Bill twice.
Right, you interviewed Bill twice. Yeah. You had it set up for you know, Harbaugh to come in again, even though I think everybody pretty much knew that it was Chargers or bust for mm-hmm. Harbaugh. But like, no, I think especially if you read that Jukes thread, you know, everybody was just blown away by what he had to say. Like the plan that he laid out, whether you agree or disagree. And it wasn't just the Rich McKay part, because whether you want to realize it or not, like, McKay got moved, right? Mm-hmm. But to bring in Belichick, the amount of organizational structure that would have to change, mm-hmm. ultimately, at the end of the day, was what Blank wasn't comfortable with.
I don't blame him.
Well, and the desperation move there is taking Belichick. If you take Belichick and it ends up in the next 2 or 3 years, we're winning a Super Bowl, was it worth it? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, like, the desperation move there would have been like, okay, this particular organizational structure that we currently have, which, yes, you do move McKay over to do Atlanta United stuff, but I'm going to guess that fundamentally how the organization works is still going to kind of be the same, right? You bring in Blank or you bring in Belichick, and you have to overhaul that entire process that you believe in, that you've set up because you believe this is the best way to run it. but I am so desperate for a win. I'm going to let this guy come in, bulldoze all of it, and put in whatever he feels is the right way to go in. That's the desperation move.
Yep.
That's not a guy who's the desperation move.
Yep.
They just said at that press conference last week or whatever it was, 2 weeks ago, and then almost bragging about their setup, about how other teams are kind of like, about, you know, other teams may code our structure. Like, if you're going to sit there and brag about how, and you know, I don't, you can say what you want about
innovative your structure.
Right. And the, I don't know what they think that other teams are looking at the Falcons going, man, like they got it together. Look at all the success they're having. We're going to do that. But I mean, you know, like if you're going to sit there and really, really brag about it and then just throw it away because Bill walks in the door and says, I want to control everything. Then, I mean, how much did you really believe in it? Like, yeah,
that's it. Fred Butts again with the whap at Jimmy Dives.
That's me, Fred. I'm with you, man. Out of your fucking mind, buddy.
He says we're winning the Super Bowl. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Every year.
He does.
Every year. Hey, look, man. That's good. We gotta have fans like that. We got to.
Gotta be optimistic, man.
That's right. Dr. Anonymous says teamwork makes the dream work. One of my high school coaches. That's it. Like you gotta to enjoy like who you're working with, especially in this type of a business. Yeah. If not, you'll have a Bears situation where you're carrying off Buddy Ryan and Ditka.
Yeah,
right. Well,
I can't remember where I heard this from, but I heard somebody say this is like there's a kind of a thing going around the league, like when they talk to the various executives, is one of the things that they want us that they would like to have in their organization is like they want it to be a fun place to be. Like, you know, at the end of the day, these owners are like, I just spent billions of dollars to buy and now fund this team. I want to have fun with it. I want to have a blast when I go in to do whatever. And from my understanding is you bring in a Bill Belichick, that's very militarized. That's like, mm-hmm. like it sucks all the fun out. Now, is that maybe a better way to go about it to have the kind of success that they had? It helps when you have a Brady, but yes, like maybe that works for them. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of, you know, teams and a lot of players like want to be in places where they want to have success, but they also like, just like anybody, just like all of us, we all mm-hmm. don't want to go into a place where we're just like, oh, I gotta go into mm-hmm. work. Oh my God. You want to be, you know, you don't have to be like, man, I can't wait to get to work today. But you just at least you just need to be like, all right, I gotta get up and go to work. Cool, mm-hmm. let's go do that, and I'll come home and you know whatever. But you want it to be a fun place to work with and fun people to be around.
John H says Jonathan is right. Blank prioritizes entertainment and a good time. I mean,
you have to because it's Atlanta.
I said, baby,
you have to because you are in Atlanta and the fans will check out halftime and stay. They will stay in the stadium. It's too much to do in the stadium. Oh, it's fun. Oh, man, you could just stay in the stadium and hang out, have a blast. You could take pictures. You could pose with stuff. You could see exhibits. It's a billion-dollar stadium. The fans will check out. And it's Atlanta. The strip clubs is open. Like, the Waffle House is open. It's all type of things open.
Dude, there's so much to do in this city that you're competing with on a day-to-day basis. You're
competing.
Yeah, and Arthur
knows it. So he's right? done the best thing for competition because the guy he brought in, you will see fun. I know that – I don't know like the age of everybody, but when I started to see this, it was because they was having fun. I was a child. And I said, who's that dancing? And who's these rappers on the sideline? That's how I became a fan. It was the most fun team I had ever seen. I didn't even like football. But who's Andre Rison? Who's Deion Sanders? Who is Ray Buchanan? Who is Jerry Glanville? Who is MC Hammer? Who is Evander Holyfield? Who is all these people lining up on the side? I couldn't believe it. They was dancing, having fun in the locker room. That was a different squad. You won't see that, but you will see something similar. We're going to have a blast this season, and we're going to the Super Bowl.
Let's see. We're going to keep right on rocking. I saw a good – I meant to start, and I did not. See, pro tip for anybody that has to do this, or not has to, who finds themselves doing this, when you see a good comment, go ahead and start so that you don't lose it. Don't be all like, I'll remember, because you won't.
I saw somebody, or this was way earlier, And they said, you know, like looking back on it, could it be that they, that Julio, it wasn't necessarily for Quinn, but maybe Julio really wanted Raheem to be the coach. When that didn't happen, he was like, all right, I want out, yada, yada, yada. Now that you got Raheem, it's like, do we bring Julio back for a year? Let him.
Oh, yeah. John, you talking my language, man. I'm about to do it pound for pound. I'm going to be the third member on pound for pound. You talking my language. Hey,
I'm going to go ahead and call it. If you bring Julio back, don't put an 80 number on him.
No.
Like, I was watching the a breakdown of Philly's game, and JT O'Sullivan, who I absolutely enjoy watching, kept saying, like, whoever this number 80 is, I'm like, that's Julio Jones, dude. And you don't recognize him. Because he's wearing some weird numbers.
Looks so terrible.
It looks terrible. And I'm not even one of those numbered aesthetic people, you know, because I know our boys Damski and they're always the ones with the, you know, depending on what visor they have, if they're going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not that guy, but Julio Jones in 80s didn't look right at all.
No.
Bradley Burnett says hiring Bill would have been the opposite of Raheem.
Facts.
He would make 100%. Players not want to come here.
Yeah. Great coach, but facts.
That's it. Like, that was a part, shoot, I ain't kidding you. And not there was a part of me that was like, if we hire Belichick, there's a real good chance. There was a real good chance. Like, I don't know how much I would have done this. Cause I had to come, me and Jonathan, y'all do the same thing. You have to come on week in, week out, cause we enjoy talking about our team. We enjoy breaking it all down. But at a certain point, I get to a point where I feel like I'm defending the team against the chat room. It's I'm the team representative, even though I'm not. But could you imagine doing that with Belichick every week?
Dude, I thought about it too, man. The press conferences would be just awful and
Dude,
we would have been on to New Orleans every week. On to New Orleans.
On to New Orleans. It's just been so bad. Yeah.
But at least,
But I'll say, look, at the end of the day, whether it's Bill Belichick, Raheem Morris, Bobby Slowick, Ben Johnson, it don't matter who it is, you win, and it's going to be fun.
Oh, of course.
Belichick can come out and be like, well, it's on to this team. It's on to that team. He can be snarky. He can mumble through whatever press conferences he wants to mumble through if he's winning. All right. Doesn't matter. Same thing with Raheem. He can be the happy-go-lucky, super high-energy guy, all this other stuff. Now, that plays better whether you're winning or losing. I grant you that. But at the end of the day, people are going to get sick of that, too, if the losing continues.
Oh, of course.
They're just going to be why aren't you serious enough?
Right. Look, if we were winning, and I'll put just if we were winning and you still had Arthur Smith with his dry humor and whatever going on, wouldn't nobody cared? Nobody have said nothing. Y'all saw how quick Belichick's stick ran out when you start losing. How many seasons was it?
Mm-hmm.
100%.
You start losing and people don't care, right? Now, Tabig says, oh, hell no, don't bring back no.
Come on, man. Don't do that, buddy. It's a living legend.
Hey, man. People, especially around here, don't forget when you start dragging the fan base. Show.
Yeah, I will say this: if Julio had not been out on live TV, on live TV saying, nah, man, I'm out of there or whatever, and then I could let that go. I could just be like, look, he wants out. That's totally cool. You want to be it? You want to change jobs? Cool. All right. Then when he leaves, it's like he doesn't say anything about, thank you for your, thank you to the fans. And then when he finally does, he does it on a Texas or a Houston Titans, Tennessee Titans letterhead that was obviously not done by him.
No,
it was done by a PR guy or something that. And it was like he just didn't care. And cool, you don't care? That's fine. I don't care about you anymore. That's how I look at it.
That's what Anonymous is saying here. He said Julio did us dirty, but I kind of don't blame him for wanting out. I get that.
My falconness will not allow me to badmouth this man. Okay, he could set a church on fire. I'd be sitting there I didn't see nothing.
Hold on.
I didn't see nothing. I don't know how it caught fire. It was real hot outside that day.
You start setting bills on fire, and we can't look. We're no longer.
This is not Sweden during the 90s and like weird death metal culture. We're burning down churches. Thank you very much.
We're not.
Hey, JR, question for you.
What's up, Young, bro?
Would you bring him back if he came back at the lowest possible? He just wanted like $1 million.
Are you talking about like a vet minimum kind of deal?
Yeah, like the minimum. He just want to be. He don't want to start.
I personally don't care if we bring him back or not. Okay, personally don't care. But if we do, I would be totally fine with him coming in for the simple fact that I would like to get his knowledge passed on to the younger.
Great point.
Okay. That's really the only thing I care.
Only Miz says, I love Julio so much. I don't care if he punched my grandma in the face.
Damn. Sorry, Nana.
You get punched. That's good stuff. I mean, you know what? I'd bring him back, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't like be, you know, burning my jersey or nothing like that. And you know what I'm saying? Like it wouldn't move the needle for me one way or the other. Yeah. Because the last times you have seen him, whether it be with Tampa or whether it be with the Phillies, not the Phillies, the Eagles, up there in Philly, like he's definitely a shell of his former self.
Yeah.
There's like, it would be a PR move and that's it to bring him back.
Jersey sales. Yeah.
Exactly. And so in that, whatever, you know, let's see.
Sorry, Julio.
Jay Black says, Julio can kiss a puffer fish as far as I can. Hey,
come on, man.
He said, kiss a puffer.
Remember him in his prime. Remember what he did in his prime.
Oh, it was awesome.
Hey, he says, I'm only bringing like, Julio
he's,
back.
He's like top five of all time, hands down.
He says, Millie says he's only going to bring him back to retire.
Yeah.
And I'm with that. I'd bring him back for like, you know, ring on or kind of hang him in the rafters type deal. Yeah. Bradley's got a question for the panel. He says, let's say Caleb Drake and Jaden are all gone. Well, I think we did that one earlier. Who are you most excited about? Why'd you start that, Jonathan?
No, I started because it doesn't say QB.
Huh.
If we were to stick at eight, who would you be most excited for at eight?
We'll switch it then. Non-QB. Say we do something crazy like sign Fields or trade for Fields or sign Cousins or whatever. We handle...
Or we plan on drafting a J.J. McCarthy.
Or whatever. For this question, let's say we handle QB outside of draft. You have your first overall pick, number eight. Who you going with? We'll start with Mike and move around. Mike, who you going with?
I don't... you don't watch college, so I can't name a player.
How about this?
But I'm going defensive end.
That's what I was going to say.
Position. I'm going defensive end.
Okay, defensive end. Defensive end. All right. Yates, what you got?
Is trading back an option? Are we going to be at eight?
We're sticking at eight. For the purposes of this question, we're sticking at eight.
I'd go a Jared Verse, Dallas Turner type of guy. I mean, for sure.
Yeah, right. That's
what right, position John, is that, John?
That's D end. Edge. That's D end. He's edge rusher. John, what you got?
I mean, I like definitely on the Dallas Turner, Jared Verse train, like either one of those guys, and I haven't really dived in a ton to a lot of the draft stuff yet. So I don't know all the names, but like I would still love to. I know we got a couple of guys, but they are a little bit older. But I would love to get a really, really good, you know, potential like top 10 type guy D tackle. But I can't, I, you know, if it's between that or Dallas Turner, Jared Verse at eight, I don't know
if we haven't had an alpha edge in so long.
Yeah. I was going to say, for me, it's an alpha edge, whether it's Dallas Turner or Latu, out of UCLA, or
another good one.
I don't know what like cut type deal is or anything like that, but if the best overall tackle sitting there, take him.
Wasn't like, Latu coached by Jimmy Lake at Washington?
Yes.
No.
Latu before he transferred?
Did he start in Washington? Yeah. I know Jimmy Lake coached Joe Tryon, who's in Buffalo, who's in with the Bucks. But I didn't know where Latu transferred from.
He transferred from, I'm pretty sure it was Washington. Yeah, I think maybe Jimmy Lake.
If that's the case, then yeah.
Never know.
That could be That could be interesting. But yeah, like a pass rusher, or give me the best tackle. Because, you know, Jake Matthews is getting long in the tooth.
Yeah.
And, you know, Caleb McGarry, even though we just paid him, hasn't necessarily, like, as we talked about before, great run blocker, not so great pass blocker. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what you do with Caleb McGarry. Maybe you just cut him. Maybe you try to trade him. I don't know. But
I think what you probably do in this particular year, because I don't hear some of the big name O tackles like we've seen, like we had last year and a couple of years ago. I'm not hearing a lot of those names pop up. But in this scenario, Jake Matthews is still there. Yep. Like, yes, he's long in the tooth, but he's still a consistent.
Oh yeah. Left tackle. It's not a draft to replace him, but yeah.
Right. But he's still there. You just paid Caleb McGarry. And while, yes, he's not the pinnacle of right tackle pass blocking, he has gotten better. All right. And so you continue developing him with Ledford. And if you feel like you need to bring in somebody, then I think you take a tackle in like the second, third round, something like that, somebody to put into the development program and let Ledford work on him for a year, 2 years, whatever, and then figure it out from there. That's what I think is there.
So, Millie brings up an interesting point. He says, what if Malik Nabers at LSU is there? Surprisingly, he's considered like one of the top wide receivers. He's up in there with Odunze and Harrison. Like, do you think if the third year, fourth year in a row,
that'd be crazy.
I can't do it.
I can't do it in a row.
You can find look at Green Bay's receivers.
That's right.
I mean, like they are all
30, look at Puka Nacua
guys.
Food in the house.
There's a better chance that you find a solid receiver later on than getting an alpha edge later on. I mean,
I agree.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I love Nabers, and I love what's his name from? I love the dude from Washington who probably Odunze as well. Odunze,
yeah.
But I just couldn't do it again. And we need receivers.
I think I'm with you. Oh crap, I missed this one a minute ago. Sorry about that, Fred. I think he was talking about Julio. Oh. He said
I know it better not be a Matt Ryan jersey in that trash, buddy.
No.
You dig that out of the trash. You drive to the landfill and you get that if you did that.
Matt Ryan didn't disrespect the fan base on his way out either.
He got a whole thing in the newspaper.
It was the reverse. Yeah. He's the reverse.
He loved us, but, and he still do charity work here. He loved us.
Matt Ryan is he's definitely act, Atlanta, man. Yeah, and definitely class act. Like, you can't ask for much better than that. Mm-hmm. But no, I myself am. There's a part of me. I know he's polarizing in a lot of aspects, but there's a part of me that really would like to see if Zach Robinson could turn around, you know, Justin Fields, just because I like the storyline behind it, you know, with him being, Georgia kid, with him being, having three rough years, the Bears casting him off for the chance at another generational, like the story. Person inside of me says, man, that would be just a lot of fun to, you know, have that rebuild kind of deal. But the question, you know, then becomes like, if you're Raheem Morris and like whatever you do at quarterback, is you're tying your tenure basically to that. So
like art.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Like at the end of the day, that's what did in art. I don't care what you want, however you want to. It was the inconsistency of QB play and the fact that he was the one that brought in Mariota, Ritter, and Heinicke, and it never looked like consistent, right? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, if they could turn, I know, like I'm already getting it, John H. says no to Fields. And I'm like, yeah, right. And then Kenneth, I don't know, man. I've been watching Kenneth like quotes. He says, Fields not coming to Atlanta. Ritter is QB1, dude. You're gonna have to let that die, dog. You're going to have to let that down. Look,
I was on the Ritter train as long as I could possibly be. Right. And when I started in the All 22, man, that's when I really started looking like, man, like, you know, we can get on Art for some play calling, but, and it goes for Taylor too. Both those quarterbacks left so many yards on the field that upper level quarterbacks just would not. And you can, I mean, coaching will help, sure, but it doesn't. But your coach can't be next to you making a decision for you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, when you're throwing a ball, you know. So like that was just rough. That was rough.
Like I said, at the end of the day, I want like my pecking order at January 30th, right? We still got plenty of time to go.
Mm-hmm.
My pecking order is top of my wish list is Jaden Daniels. Like every game I watched of his, whether they won or lost, like he was doing something special. And, you know, whether it was like creating with his legs, whether it was throwing bombs, whether it was throwing, like he's accurate at all three levels with the throws. Like, I don't think he's better talent wise than Caleb Williams, but if the SEC means anything, like he did it for 2 years in the SEC, right?
Yep.
And so like that's the top of my wish. And then it goes,
I just need to take him out to eat with me and get him a few more pounds on him.
Yeah.
We got protein shakes. I got a pot of spaghetti. We can get this man some pounds, right?
That's all we need. Yep. About right. 10, 15 extra pounds. Yep.
That's right. I got
my wife's chili. I'll donate whatever.
This. I can do this. I mean, I know you can probably get us some brownies, can't you?
I could get some brownies, brownies.
Right.
I could get that man some special brownies.
He'll want the chili, right?
Exactly.
He'll want everything at that point.
Just keep him away
so,
from
so
him.
Like, I got a,
then he turns
so
into, his, what was yeah, that guy's?
I got a special one for you, Joe. I got a special one for you. If you got to go pick a quarterback from like the 90s or the 80s, that would come in on our team from the 90s or the 80s, strictly the 90s or the 80s, who could come in on this particular team with this particular coach, with this particular coordinator, and be successful, who you picking from the 80s or the 90s, and only the 80s or 90s, who you bringing along?
Does it have to be a Falcons quarterback?
Or no.
All right, what you got, Jonathan?
Quarterback, anybody. From 80s or 90s.
John Elway.
Oh, that's my second favorite really quarterback. One. I love it.
I was thinking Steve Young.
That's who I
that's
said.
That's what John well, said.
Yeah,
Young.
I was thinking Steve Young, you know.
John said Steve Young.
Yeah.
Underrated, Steve Young.
Tony Wright said he'd take Dan Marino, which.
Yeah, I'd do that too.
Yeah, you can't mess with Dan.
John said Warren Moon. I go Warren Moon too. Yeah.
Warren Moon.
Yeah. Cunningham. Yeah. Damn right.
Ooh, yeah. Randall Cunningham. I didn't even think about that.
Solid one right there.
That's a good question.
I forgot about Randall.
John H. Yep. said Warren Moon. That'd
Warren
be
Moore
good
call.
Warren Moon.
Yeah.
Dude, that would
hell,
be a lot
hell
of
you now, if we want to go with Falcons quarterbacks from the 80s or 90s, I'd go with Bartkowski.
Bartkowski?
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why you say Steve Young, though? Because he can run. He
yeah.
Can,
it,
why you say
like, right. It was, it's the, you know, it's the mobility. I think mobility is a huge trait in, like, I always put it like this. It is I want a QB who can run, but doesn't have to run.
Yeah.
Okay. I want a QB that if crap goes sideways and the Red Sea parts, like he's gone for 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever. Or a guy who can, you know, get out of a tackle, scramble to the left, keep his eyes downfield and chuck the ball, right? Because I always find there's a difference between a mobile quarterback and a quarterback who can run, right? Mm-hmm. Mobile quarterbacks, to me, are the ones who, like, as soon as read one isn't there, they're trying to run.
For sure.
Yeah.
No. I need you to be a QB first.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, if things go sideways, if you ain't got no, you know, nowhere to go with the ball, like, basically what I'm getting at is a Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Steve Young. You know,
I want a guy that looks to scramble to in order to throw the to get to a better chance to
but
throw
Steve
the ball
Young.
Down the field.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
I like Elway because he was a big guy. He was super strong, hard to take down.
And in like, that 2 minute drill, John. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. John was going to score to seven.
How about this? Yeah. A lot of people are throwing like prime Vic out there. And I would say, right. They were saying they're breaking the rules.
Yeah.
You're going to give me prime Vic. Give me prime Vic with post prison Vic's work ethic.
There you go.
Can we combine those two?
Yep. Yes.
Because prime Vic was living off a God-given talent, which got him really far.
Yeah.
You know, but can I get prime Vic with post Vic's
work the mental ethic? State.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like that would be, man, only imagine that that would be a deadly combination.
Like, could you imagine if Vic had had the kind of drive and determination of either, whether, you know, of Brady?
Oh, dude.
Have that kind of chip on his shoulder? Oh, my God.
He would have been the best ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. No, he would have been like, would have been amazing. All right. Well, I think we've done it. We've went further than we normally go.
It's out of your Falcon mind and pound for pound. You got to go overboard.
A little bit.
Hold on. Before we get out of here.
All right. What you got? All right.
We don't normally do this stuff, but I want to, you know, it's a special occasion. It's the collab here. I want to go around the room here. We got the Super Bowl coming up. You know, San Francisco, Kansas City. Who you got?
Can both of them lose?
So we'll go in reverse order here. JR, you go first.
Okay. All right. What I put on Twitter is I am taking who I want to win is I am taking Brock Purdy and George Kittle just because like I like those players. I really do. I like what, especially George Kittle. He cracks me up. Like he's just a goober and I like it.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. And I like I chuckle at the fact that there's something rejuvenation wise or regenerative out in California, as far as Christian McCaffrey is concerned. Cause as soon as he got out to California, like just about all his ailments went away. And after listening to more podcasts, like especially the Play Callers podcast, Kyle Shanahan isn't as big of a prick as he was here in Atlanta, as he came off here in Atlanta. You can definitely tell that being a head coach has and losing two, you know, Super Bowls in the fashion that he has humbled him in a sense. So I don't have nearly as much like hate in my heart, so to speak, for Shanahan, and a lot of people do. So I will say I'll take San Francisco because I'd much rather root for Mr. Irrelevant and George Kittle over the next Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and Taylor Swift. Like I'm good about the guy, like Patrick
Mahomes. I always took you for a Swiftie, dude.
No, not even a little bit, okay? Look, if they end up getting married and live happily ever after, her career is over, dog, okay? Because the only thing that she can sing about is a bad
relationship. Yep, that's true.
And plus, like, come on. Like, four or five NFC or AFC championships and already so, like, he ain't even 30 yet.
20 like, freaking eight, man.
Can you leave some for the rest of us? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like Bob says, it sounds like jealousy. Yes, very much so.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If I'm a Kansas City fan, I'm looking at this like, and? Like, you're so right. What?
Yeah.
Like, this like, is awesome. He's the greatest quarterback that's ever lived.
Nothing against you, John, but it's like Alabama fans, okay?
Yeah, man.
Look. Y'all had Saban and all the rings and everything. Yeah. Like, okay, look, time for something else, something different, right? I was so wanting Detroit to win, but they pulled the Falcons and
me too.
Didn't do it.
Yeah. No, Dan Campbell pulled his Kyle Shanahan's. What happened?
Yeah.
Well, they called him Dan Gamble for a reason. Anyway, so Mike,
he thought he was already in Vegas.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going, young. I cannot root for my ex to win. I just can't. You can't host the trophy. Like if you was over here and we didn't win it together, I could never root for you. I can't. If the man, to me, and I know it's not solely his fault. But to me, I'll never forget, because I know me, I would have been in tears. It would have been the best day of my life. I was going to take off work for a week. It really meant something to me, man. I understand that we all play around that, but it means so much to us, and we had it. We had it in our hands. It's like whatever you dream of, you had it in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like to have the person who's responsible for taking it out your hand, I can never look at you again in the eyes. I don't want you around me. I don't want – that's always something I take personal. But I love Patrick Mahomes. I think that I have – that we've never seen that. So you got to give Brady respect with Drew Brees and, man, and like the GOATs, like Peyton Manning and like Matt Ryan and like Rodgers. You got to give them. But we all knew year one that we had never seen nothing like this. And that's so rare of a thing. We all like, oh, you know what? He is better than them. He just haven't played as long. Right. So I'm like anxious to see what he can run up. Like I want to see if he can get like the Jordan hand with all the rings on the hand. Yeah. I think he can do it, and I just don't go against Pat Mahomes. He's there fun to watch. He can throw that ball on the run back across the field. It's always suicide to do that, right? Except when one man do it. He can throw it spot on. You never supposed to do that. He can throw that as a dart. So I don't go against, and I love Reed. He's just the most classiest coach to me. I love him to pieces. So I ain't going against Andy Reid, and I'm not going. And I love Travis Kelce. And I didn't think Taylor Swift was cute, but the more they show her, I'm starting to get a crush. So I can't go against her.
They're converting you to a Swiftie, Mike.
I hate her music. I think her music sucked, but I didn't even think she was cute. And the more they show this lady, I'm like, she is really gorgeous, to be honest. So I'm not going against her.
Yay, two you got, brother.
Yeah, I'm with Mike. I can't go against Pat. And I mean, look, that Super Bowl was my kid's first memory of football, and he woke up crying when I told him that, you know, he lost the Super Bowl. You know, he went to bed when it was 28-3. He thought we had a win. Yep. And he woke up. He said, "What was the final score?" I'm like, "Dude, we lost." And he starts crying. And so, like Mike said, it wasn't his own fault. But man, run the ball three times. Like I know,
run it,
just like Dan Campbell on this weekend. Like I know that's how you played on your loss. Bro, this is the game to go to the Super Bowl. Like now, change and just go up three scores and call it a day.
There was a part of me that, like, when they went for it instead of going for that field goal, like I felt that same feeling again. I said, I was like, "What? What are you doing?"
Exactly.
Go up. I'll say this: I knew as soon as when Brock Purdy threw that bomb to Ayuk. And it bounced off the face mask of the Detroit Lions defender. And Ayuk caught it. And, you know, he didn't score, but he caught it. And I was like, they're going to lose this game. Because that is, I have seen almost.
That's Edelman.
That's the following year against Philadelphia when the safety, I can't remember his name. Like jumps up for some ungodly reason. Like I'm going to jump up and shove my knee at the ball. And then it bounces off his knee right to a Philadelphia receiver.
Yep.
Who then makes a big play out. Keanu Neal. Like,
yep.
Yeah. Keanu Neal. That's what it was. And I'm like, oh, we're going to lose this game. Like, because that, like when stuff like that happens to you, you know, at that point, the football gods are not in your favor and they don't like you today.
At some point,
they're
going to
make
like,
your life miserable.
That's what they talk about when Kittle was talking about that momentum thing. There ain't a PFF analytic for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. No. There ain't a PFF analytic for dang. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
DFS says
that's Liam. That's my kid.
That's Liam. Look, F. Shanahan made me cry. Made us not have a Super Bowl. I don't. Liam, I never get over it.
Back up off that F now. You ain't paying taxes yet.
That's why I typed F. He didn't go full way.
There we go. All right, I'll let you slide on that. All right, folks, we appreciate y'all greatly.
Didn't you? No, I didn't. I went right to you.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, he did. He went right to you.
You forgive me?
Yeah, but just trying to sweep me off the show and everything.
For an hour and a half.
Write me off. I see how it is.
Look, I have on the other side of this wall is a wife who wants to go lay up in that bed, right?
Oh,
okay. And because this is
yeah, JR.
Man, not in that way.
It's like she's tired, yo. She's a teacher. She's done.
Yeah, I know, but I need that a perfect chance there to throw in some music. Oh, well. Exactly.
Hey, Tom, what you got, I appreciate Mahomes. I appreciate Andy Reid. Mahomes has done some things that I've never seen a quarterback do. I appreciate the talent. I appreciate the talent of Brady. I appreciate the talent of Montana. I appreciate the talent of Steve Young, of all these guys. Uh-huh. It's boring to see Mahomes in the Super Bowl again. I wanted the Ravens to win, not necessarily because I'm a Ravens fan or that I particularly like Lamar. I don't hate Lamar. I think he's fine. But, like, I wanted them to win because I didn't want to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl again. Like, so here, and now we got San Francisco. I really want exactly what JR said. I want Brock Purdy to win. I want Mr. Irrelevant to win a Super Bowl.
I just want, I am a perpetual underdog
puller.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Like, if everybody and their mama is talking to me about, okay, perfect example. I've never watched the movie Napoleon Dynamite, ever. You know why?
Oh, man.
Because when it came out, everybody wouldn't stop, they wouldn't shut up about Napoleon Dynamite. And it hit a point where I was just like, whatever, I don't even care anymore. And it's, you know, kind of hit that same point of like with Mahomes. I'm glad for Chiefs fans. I actually think they're you know, good.
They really are.
They're a good fan base, you know, loud stadium. For a very long time, the Chiefs weren't a very good team. So, but that gum, you know what I'm saying? Leave some for the rest of us is all I'm trying to say.
I mean, look, if I'm a KC fan or if I was a Pats fan during their run, do I ever want that to end? Is that ever boring to me? No. But as a fan of anybody but those teams, yes, it's boring to see the same team in the Super Bowl or AFC, NFC championship game, whatever, for every single year. It's boring. I want to see new guys come in, and I want to see them win. Yada, yada, yada. So,
yep.
Shout out to Lake Dawson. I just had to get that in there.
Okay.
He's a childhood hero of mine.
Carrie agreed with you, Jonathan. She said, my past friend said, is this what it's like? What it feels like, you know, seeing
that's
Mahomes
exactly what it felt Chiefs like to see y'all
winning.
Keep, yep,
that's the way it is. It's just,
I don't think the Chiefs are going to keep it up for the same time span. Well, so, but yes, this is what it felt like during that ridiculous rain.
Fred just wants
next
everybody
year, though,
to know that,
hey, Falcons Chiefs Super Bowl, beat us.
He says,
Falcons Chiefs Super Bowl, now beat us.
He says, dang, it's a damn Kyle Shanahan. I get it, I understand. hate runs deep. All that's right. All it is. Look, I'm out of here. We know everybody on the left. So, how do you Falcon Mind, fellas? We appreciate y'all joining us. John, Mike.
It was a blast.
Absolutely, man.
Yep. Tell folks where they can find you if they don't already know.
Yeah, man. Y'all can find us on YouTube, Out of Your Falcon Mind, man. We'll be on Thursday night, 7:30, as usual. And we do one show during the offseason, during the week, unless some news drops, and we'll maybe throw, right. Whatever happens, we'll throw a show together, or we'll put out a video, or who knows what. But we still keep it going, man. So we have fun over there, and we'll have these guys on pretty soon, of course, in the off season. Like JR says, easier to collab in the off season for the most part. So it's just the schedules are, we're not worried about games. So, man, we always love coming on with you guys, man. Anytime y'all want us, man, just holler. Yeah. We're there, man.
Heck yeah. Mike, where can folks find you at, brother?
I have no idea what the name is, but it's on TikTok. It's Out of Your Falcon Mind. I don't know things, man. Okay. You put me on the spot. But it's just TikTok, Out of Your Falcon Mind. I have no idea
look, just look for Mike. He'll be there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Google Out of Your Falcon Mind. I'm sure.
There it is. And as always, Falcons fans, y'all can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grim1128, GRIMMM1128. Jonathan?
At Jonathan M. Holder. Come by and say hi.
There you go. I just got access to the Senior Bowl stream, like practice films and Shrine Bowl practice films. So I'll be diving into all that. And like in the comments below, like after the stream and all this other jazz, let us know what y'all want to see this year. Like, I don't always want to do the same thing. So if y'all like, oh, hey, man, I'd like to see y'all do this or do that. Like drop a comment down below so that, we are keeping y'all thoroughly entertained.
Much better to have 1,000, 100 different minds thinking of ways for us to make content instead of two.
Hey man, it's called crowdsourcing and I'm good at it. Hey, man. Anyway,
goes for us too.
That's it. That's it. All right, folks, we appreciate y'all. And as always, you can follow. We'll be back live next Tuesday with another show. And as always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.
Peace. Rise up.
There it is.